It's really good that you're here, Peter, but not in the way you're thinking. I'm really glad, John, you're in the kingdom, but not the way you think. Amen. I'm glad. Not the way you think. Because Peter was a successful businessman, right? Exactly. He was talented. He ran a business with John and James. All these guys were in together. Okay, are you with me? Okay, all right. Huh? They knew what they're... Listen, they were successful. They supplied sardines to Jerusalem, man. They had a big business. They were running fish all day, you know. So they knew what to do. All right, so number one, don't think you're all that. Okay, got it? Number two, Lord, if you wish, I will. I'm going to stop right there. If it's all right with you, Lord, I will. And you say it really fast because you hope he won't interrupt you. It's okay, Lord. I'm going to do this. Right. Okay, I'll do it. Doing and bless everything I decide. I mean, no, Lord, I really want to do your will. Even though I pray every day, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done. Oh, come on, Lord. I'll do this if you say it's okay. Do you hear the difference between that and, Lord, my own ability to do anything. Lord, I didn't know where to start. Lord, can you give me a place to start? Amen. What do you want me to do right now? Now, I'm not saying we should be always passive. I'm not. Don't get me wrong. But God has got to start us on the right foot. To go on a journey, you want to make the first step correct. You know what I'm saying? So let the Lord start you, and then you can adjust. And sometimes it's really, really important to just be quiet and wait for God, because you end up asking, you know the old saying, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. So you just go ahead and do stuff and then just hope people don't mind, or they'll just get over it, or they'll just forget about it. How many of you know God ain't like that? He doesn't forget things. He doesn't just get over it because he's busy, taking care of some problem in South America. And I just forgot how badly I was treated by those folks in Martinsville. Like, that doesn't work. So we need to seek him for his will. And lay our will down. And ask him to show us what to do next. Okay? Number three. I will make 3 tents right here. 3 tents right here. What he was trying to do, he was moving ahead of God and trying to create something based on his present experience without getting further information. So when God leads me to do something, or like you do anything, and you say you want to learn, how many of you have gotten started into something and then after you got started, you realize there was a whole lot more you had to learn to really do it right? Oh, I think I'll just get into real estate. All I have to do is pass a test. No. Is there a little more to it than just passing a test? Just a little bit. So Peter's like into making 3 tents because he thinks he's got everything he needs to know. Guess what? He doesn't. Now, he's a very talented person. He's a fisherman. He can also make tents. How many of you would want Peter in your corner? I mean, I want Peter on my team. He can do a lot of stuff. He's a self-starter. His initiate, you know what I mean? But Jesus is like, whoa, boy. No three tenths here. Sorry. And he said, I want it right here. Implying they were going to stay there a while. I like this place. Let's just hang out here with you, Moses, and Elijah. Right? Sometimes God will give you an encounter to prepare you for the next thing. And I'm going to talk about that. Okay? So you're not even supposed to stay there at that place. He'll give you something to give you something for something down the road. So you're really not to do anything with that other than remember it and learn from it. Okay? So the fear of the Lord helps you grow in this way. Don't get stuck and don't over compartmentalize. Compartmentalize means to put everything in a nice, neat little box. They didn't have boxes there. They had tents. Don't over compartmentalize. Okay. All right. I'm not wearing you out yet, right? Good. You got a few more things here? Okay. Now, number four, while he was still speaking, behold. Many times we talk too much and don't look instead. So God is saying, learn to dial it back sometimes and look and see what it is that God wants to tell you. I mean, God literally had to interrupt him. Can you imagine that? How would you like to be a friend of someone where the only way they could get a word in edgewise is to interrupt you? Would you like a friend like to be like that? I'm not pointing any fingers. But really, would you like to be someone's friend so that the only way they could talk to you is by interrupting you? I don't. Don't you want to be the kind of friend that listens and, you know? Well, Peter had to be interrupted by God the Father. Come on now. Come on now. God had to literally stop him mid-sentence. And I just want you to know something. He had to do that to me on more than one occasion. You know, I've got to tell you that. There are times when I'm like, bye, 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 bye. Oh, shut up. Okay, Lord, I get it. So we have to be careful about when we're listening and so that we listen and balance. This is important in prayer. I'm just trying to be practical. Balance your prayer life between listening and asking. When you get into God's presence, when you get to pray, give him time to speak to you. Now, we have the teaching here by Mark Verkler. We have it on video. We have it. Anybody here that does it, that journals, that, you know. And I got to tell you that one of the things I have to constantly make myself do is listen to God. Because I always want to tell him stuff. You know, like the first thing in the morning, I want to tell him stuff. I wake up with stuff to tell God. God, you got to fix this. I need this. I want this. How many of you are like, the only way you can get your brain to slow down in the morning is to write your to-do list down first thing. Anybody like me? Anybody? No? No one like me? I have to write it all. If I don't write it down, because my brain, the first thing I do when I wake up is I think of all the stuff that I have to do or need to do or should do or wish I had done or had, you know what I mean? Stuff that has not been fixed. And come on now, living in an old house like this, there's like a gazillion things and you don't need an old house to that. You can have a new house and still have 25 things you haven't done yet. Okay, that's just the nature of life. But there, your brain just wants to go into that kind of mode, and that's okay. What I do to deal with that is I write things down so I can get it off my head so I can listen. Okay, I won't forget this now because there are sometimes I forget things. I do forget things. And so I'll write it down so I don't forget it, and then I listen to God. God, what do you want to tell me? I'm really, really upset because this happened to me or someone's going through this. Or my friend's in the hospital. You know what I mean? Or this person is like dying. And that's like the first stuff I want to throw up at God. But we need to learn to listen. Okay. All right. Now, let's go on. They fell on their faces and they were terrified. Next verse. Here we go. Here comes the comfort. Are you ready for the comfort now? Enough of the fear, Pastor John. Here's the comfort. But Jesus came. You see, God the Father can be scary because he's God. You can't see things. He's mystery. It's, you know, but Jesus, you can see. He's real. He's came in as a human form. He was flesh and blood, just like you and I. And so Jesus, in response to the fear of the Lord, he came to them. He just didn't sit there and say, cut it out, guys. You know what I'm saying? Get up. You know, he literally went from wherever he was with Moses and Elijah, said, hold on, boys, I got to do something. And he went and he says, don't be afraid. And they were, of course, they were on the ground shaking and who knows what's not throwing up. You name it. They were scared. They were just done. They were done. Undone completely. Get up and don't be afraid. See, that's the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comforts us because God sometimes has to put the Board of Education on the seat of learning. So then we need a hug afterwards. We need the love. We need love. We got to have love. We need to be loved on. And Jesus is the one to do it because he's been through it. That's why we need each other. You know, I get comforted by people that, number one, I know really, really care about me. And they're not doing it just to do it. They really genuinely care. Do you know what I'm talking about? Can I say this? Some pastors teach that love has no emotion to it. I don't believe that. I want someone to love me that really cares about me. It really feels that way. I don't want someone to do the right thing just because it's the right thing. Do you hear the difference? I don't want them to do it out of duty, like a police officer. But if I get a police officer, I want that guy to kind of have a heart. Don't you? Right? Right? Like your grandson? You want him to have a heart. Yeah, I know that. But you know what I'm saying? They're doing their job, but you want them to have a heart. And likewise, number one, you want somebody who really cares and really loves you because they think you're special. That's the other thing I really want you to know. God doesn't love us because we're a piece of dirt. God loves us because we're a masterpiece. There's a difference. If God just loved dirt, he would be kind of crazy. But he's not crazy. God loves beautiful things. So if God loves you, it's because you are. Did you all hear me that on that? Do I have an amen on that? Amen. God loves you because you're a masterpiece. Nobody goes to a museum to see ugly stuff. Well, they might in modern art museums. But I... Josh says that's really true. But people pay and go travel to see beautiful things. God loves you because you're beautiful. He made you beautiful. He made you lovely. He made you powerful. He made you cool. He made you whatever word you want to describe it. Jesus came and touched them because he cared about them. The second thing you want to have when someone comforts you is somebody who's been through what you've been through. There's something about that that really helps you when they have been through or they can relate to you and understand what you've been through. Am I right? There's something about that touch. You notice that it's a touch as well as a word. You know that one of the best things you can do to help a grieving person is to touch them, just to be with them. You don't have to say a whole lot. Just be with them is one of the best things you can do. I learned that, and I think it's really true. I try to practice that. Rise and have no fear. Jesus gave them glory, but also comforted them in their fear so that they can get up. So... So Peter had a revelation in Matthew 16, right? But he didn't really have the fear of God because he tried to tell Jesus what to do on Matthew 17. Then the fear of God came, right? And then Peter got afraid. Good. Yes. But then he got comforted. But then after he got comforted, God gave him a word. God wants to give us the word of the Lord to accompany our encounters. Keep going. They saw him. There you go. He gave him a command. So if you come to church and God, if you meet him in the worship and your heart melts or whatever that is, you meet God and you have an encounter with God, or it may be at home, or it may be while you're walking in the mountaintop somewhere, or walking in the woods, or maybe in your car. You know, God speaks to me in all kinds of unusual places. In the truck one time, I was driving with Josh. We were going to help somebody move some beds. And as we were coming down there at the Kohler Bottom, God spoke to me just like that. It was like, boom. I said, wow, God, thank you. And then shower speaks people in the shower. I'm walking down the hallway and I'll start getting a song. The song just starts coming. I'm like, wow, that's cool. And the song starts coming. But then a command will come with the fear of the Lord that says, tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. So, God wants to give us purpose and understanding to what we encounter. And he wants us to have a single vision. It says that they saw Jesus only. That word in the Greek is mono. They had mono vision. What is that? What are those characters that run around, these little characters with a little eye? Minions. Yeah, he wants us to be spiritual minions. One mono vision, that means single vision. And you know, we do have two eyes, but one of the biggest things is not having the single vision with two eyes. Anyway, now when you have God giving you commands, you will see Jesus and Jesus only. So they came down the mountain of vision. And when you're coming down the mountain of vision, you have to have a command coming down that mountain about when to release God's word. There is a timing that always comes with the Lord that we have to pay attention to. He said, don't say anything about this until. And there are times when the Lord just told me, he says, what you're getting right now, don't say it to anybody until I tell you to, until it's okay. Sometimes God will give me a word for somebody and I have to hold that until I see them. And then he says, you remember what I told you then? This is when you need to say it now. Because if you say it too soon, you lose the anointing for some reason. It's like the anointing disappears. And the timing is so important. And why? Because he says, until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. When was Jesus declared to be the Son of God with power? By the raising of the dead. So they had to wait until time that he was really anointed to preach it. When did Peter obey this word? On the day of Pentecost. So he had to wait all the way to the day of Pentecost to release this word. See that? It had to happen later. And how many people got saved that day? 3,000? How many people got saved when Peter preached before then? Probably nobody. See what I'm saying? So we need to pray about timing. We need to learn to walk in God's will. Amen? Okay. I'm going to finish it right off here with Elijah. Okay, here we go. We'll talk about Elijah. Keep going. Jesus, disciples asked him. Now, do you hear this? He talks about rising from the dead. Did you notice that nobody said, Lord, you shouldn't die. We don't want you to die. Remember what they did just before? Nobody rebuked Jesus about dying and rising. So now they change the subject. They talk about Elijah because Peter already got rebuked for trying to challenge the Lord about suffering and dying on the cross. So now they go, what about this Elijah stuff? All right. Elijah comes and he'll restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah already came. But they didn't recognize him, but they did to him whatever they pleased. So the Son of Man certainly will suffer at their hands. Go back one verse, please. Here's the other thing about operating without the fear of God. Jesus is teaching him. Sometimes we don't recognize what God is really doing. The people didn't realize it was John the Baptist. It was Elijah coming. And you know, to this day, if you go to a Passover, there's still a chair left for Elijah. Still there. They still pour a cup of wine and leave it that they never touch. Because someday Elijah's going to come and take it. That's faith. That's what they believe. But Elijah, Jesus said, here, he already came. But they didn't see him. But look what happened. And here's the key. They did to him. Can you go back to the verse before? They did to him whatever they wished. I guess two more verses down, please. Keep going down, no, not up in verses 15, maybe 15. Yeah, that's it right there, 12. They did to him whatever they pleased. Okay, do you remember what the Father said to Peter about the Son? They said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This word pleased here is a different word, but it's translated with the same word, so it can be a little confusing. And what I want to finish up today with is what the fear of the Lord does to us and how we operate in our will. Okay? They didn't recognize who he was, but they did to him whatever they pleased. The world doesn't see Jesus the way they need to. And because they don't recognize for him for who he is, people will treat the person whatever they want to treat him. So if somebody doesn't really honor you or respect you, you will be subject to their whims, their drama, and their, childishness, callousness, their feelings. I'm in a good mood today, so I'm going to treat you like dirt. You get caught in a power struggle, right? See people get caught in a power struggle. Wasn't John the Baptist caught in a power struggle? Wasn't he killed out of jealousy because he told the leader not to marry this woman that was really wrong? And didn't this other woman do a weird pole dance to get him to, you know what I mean? So all of this was done out of the desires and the wishes and the drama. And I guess that's the best word to really describe it. Just getting caught up in everybody's drama. The fear of the Lord will pull you out of the drama. God will no longer be your drama person. You will stop being a drama king, drama queen with God. Because God doesn't treat you that way. God doesn't just feel like, I'm having a bad day, so I'm going to go at you. Or I'm going to, you know what, I'm just feeling mean, and I'm just going to get up on the back of your bumper because you cut me off. So I'm going to drive, you know what I mean? Anybody get aggravated with people in the traffic and you just want to teach them a lesson? I felt, you see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying, though? God bless you, Tim. We love Tim. So there's something about about the fear of the Lord that takes us out of the passions of the flesh and puts us into the mind of the Holy Spirit. And here's the difference. The word for the pleasing that the Father had towards the Son is eudosia, which means just well-wishing and kindness and gentleness and graciousness. When God fills you full of His Spirit, you just want to be a blessing and love people out of the goodness of your heart. It just comes out of this goodness and kindness and gentleness. It's not out of the drama and you know what I mean? The yin and yang and the ups and downs and the whip and that. There's a sense of just constantly wanting to love and to bless and to encourage and to motivate. It's the way the Father loves the Son. Because when you love somebody and they're well-pleasing in your eyes, that means when you look at them, you're not nitpicky about them. Come on. You're not trying to make them fly up to this standard that they'll never reach. You're just loving on them and just pouring out love. The Bible says there's no shadow of turning in the book of James for the love of God. There are no shadows in that sunlight. It's beautiful, perfect sunlight. You get a great tan every time. You know what I'm saying? It's just perfect. It's just beautiful. And see, God wants us to walk in that kind of will. He wants us to have that kind of relationship with each other, and He wants us to have that kind of relationship with Him. Do you know that God loves you that way? John was expressing the same thing. Dr. Peterson was expressing the same thing when he said that God is relentless in His love. That's the same attitude, the same thing that God doesn't just have a bad day. And He just wants to love us and bless us and pour us out. And when we come back and we fail or we make mistakes or we trip and we fall and like Peter, say stupid stuff, want to do stupid stuff, get ahead of God's will or whatever, God still loves us. And He pours out His grace and His mercy because He recognizes us for who we really are. Not like they treated John the Baptist or Elijah. Because people will disrespect you when they don't really know you. But when somebody really treats you right, don't you feel like they really know you? That you feel connected with that person? And that's what God wants to do with you and with me. He wants you to feel that you are known and loved. Amen. Known and loved. And then He wants you to love people the same way. Amen. Can we just pray for just a minute right now? You bow our heads right where you are. Father God, we thank You that, first of all, Lord, we receive the good pleasure of the Father towards us. Father, we come against any attitude that we have that somehow You are not well pleased with us. We come against any kind of images in our mind of a harsh, demanding, unreasonable, moody God. We say that You are loving and that You have the ability to love us out of Your good pleasure. Lord, we say that You are not a God who can never be fully pleased. And Lord God, we separate You from any other human example in our life that somehow presents itself to us. That no matter what I try, I can never seem to do it right in their eyes. And Lord, I ask You to heal that even in my own attitude towards You. If there's been people in my life that are super, super demanding, and Lord, I just forgive them. I release them. I say I have nothing against them. And Lord, we ask you for a fresh revelation of the well-pleasing heart of the Father towards us. And we ask You, Lord God, for that attitude towards one another. Lord, we ask you to give us that love that will cause us to love you and love one another out of just the goodness and the kindness and the mercy of the Lord. Steadfast love of the Lord, the Hesed. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Repeat that after me. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.